Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The McNeil and Parkin Show. Afternoons on the Score.
So, what was it like? Why the White Sox?
Why not? I mean, you got a good young core. Guys who have a lot of talent. Really good arms. The more I looked into them, the more excited I got about them. And so, yeah, that's why the White Sox.
The McNeil and Parkin Show on 670 The Score.
Mic him up this year.
What could go wrong? Yasmani Grandal with us on the McNeil and Parkin Show. God, that was great. This hour brought to you by the Backyard Barbecue Store. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
So,
it's the sound a guy makes when he knows he's...
That's Joe Pesci going down in the basement and he realizes
that's right.
He's not getting made that day.
Oh, no.
How are we going to do 8 more minutes
Couldn't
here?
Find a key that fit that lock.
It's all right.
What are you going to spend your money on? I'm kind of boring.
He's already made a bunch of money.
Oh, no. That was my response to him not having anything in mind for, go treat himself to something.
That's right.
That's what prompted the oh, no.
That's okay. You know, sometimes you just don't connect. Radio, man. Yeah. Got to take your swings.
That's true. But he did. He had the three. They have 350, though. So we did bond briefly on that.
The Ford family. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. So
right.
So the White Sox, I don't know if you call this news. I know you kind of hate hot stove speculation.
Not necessarily.
No, not necessarily? Was it that it dragged on that made you hate it?
I hated that we were doing Manny Machado 2 months into a baseball season, in our first baseball season together in 18. Yeah, you're waving a sign around at Comiskey Park in May.
Oh, well, then you told me that you liked that on the front end, so then you hated it on the back end, so that's okay. But you did not like the hot stove stuff last year.
Well, I just thought it was really early for Machado.
It absolutely was. This season, this offseason seems to be going a little bit faster than last year. Moustakas signed $64 million. Grandal signed his deal. And then the reports today that said that Zach Wheeler, it is more likely than not that he could sign before the winter meetings, which are Sunday is when they start. And Bruce Levine's going to be at the winter meetings for the Score, so you'll hear him on all the shows, booking guests, getting sound, giving reports. Zach Wheeler, apparently, according to John Heyman, Ken Rosenthal, and others, the bidding is going to get to nine figures. He already has a $100-plus million offer, and the White Sox are among the teams most interested in Zach Wheeler. Would you, Dan McNeil, sign off on a nine-figure contract for the former Mets pitcher for the White Sox?
Yes. Will they? I don't think so. Unless they break their long-standing history of not committing those type of dollars to starting pitchers. Why would I think they're going to do it? It's like hoping that the Bulls will land a free agent, you know, until they get a superstar free agent. I'm not believing it.
If you build it, they will come.
I'm not believing the White Sox are going to pay that kind of money for a starting pitcher until they do it. I just don't think they will. Would I? Yes.
They can afford it is the thing.
I'd rather see them sign him than Cole Hamels.
Yes. I agree with that. He's better. He's younger. He's got way more upside.
That excites me.
I thought you were going to say Garrett Cole. You said Cole Hamels. Cole. I was like, oh, man, Garrett Cole.
I respect John Lester, but I like Cole Hamels.
Yeah. He's the third guy, right? Garrett Cole 1, Strasburg 2, Zach Wheeler 3.
Mm-hmm.
Third best arm on the market by most accounts. So if that's where you shop, that's not a bad place to be. Like, I get White Sox fans saying, hey, they can afford Strasburg. They can afford Garrett Cole. Don't settle for the third highest priced guy. Listen, if those guys are going to get $300 million, right? Like Garrett Cole, they're talking about getting $30 million a year, mid-200s, maybe approaching three, meeting with the Yankees, Strasburg, opting out of what? He opted out of what? $100 million more guaranteed, I think, over 4 years? I think 4 years, 100 is what he opted out of. So, I mean, Strasburg's going to get a massive payday, as is Garrett Cole. There's no shame in being the team that can sign a nine-figure contract here. Like, that's not cheap.
Would the White Sox, if they had Zach Wheeler in their rotation, would they be the favorite in the AL Central?
No, I don't think so.
The Twins will come back to reality. They're not going to do what they did last year again.
Probably.
Yeah, one move like that doesn't make them the favorite. They still need a right fielder.
Oh, it's not one move. Yeah. It's Grandal. It's Wheeler.
Yeah, but still, even with those two guys, you still need a right fielder. You playing almost literally with no one there.
Yeah, right. So
playing right field out. Can they get Rob Manfred to pass that rule?
The Cubs want the DH in the National League. The White Sox want no right field in the American League.
That's what Rick Hahn shows up to the meetings about. Hey, I have this rule to propose. Let's go back to our.
They pass it. Theo gets all pissed.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I already paid for one.
My team's on the field. I'm going with eight.
I texted a buddy of mine who works in baseball around the Mets very closely, and this was the scouting report I got on Zach Wheeler. Said, after the health was a major issue the first few years of his career,
all three of us.
Well done. He finally got his elbow right and has basically put it all together over the last two seasons. Used to have trouble going deep in games because of command, but now seemingly goes seven every 5 days. Prone to the clunker every so often, but he'd say about 75% of the time you know exactly what you're getting. Absolutely electric fastball. One major key to his consistency over the last couple of years has been his ability to locate the fastball glove side, but he learned to focus on that from DeGrom. DeGrom focuses only on that during his bullpen sessions, and that helped Wheeler. That's the toughest pitch to locate, but when you do, it's a game changer. He's a really solid middle-of-the-rotation arm, but the upside is always elite. Still feels like he falls just short of that upside. Still has the potential to go on runs. His second half of 2018 was better than DeGrom, and that was DeGrom's historic season. So, high upside guy, middle-of-the-rotation guy who seems to have figured it out and gotten healthy the last couple of years. And when we talk about the White Sox needing a veteran stabilizing presence in that rotation because of how young they are.
Yeah.
A guy with upside who can go seven innings every 5 days seemingly consistently, that is exactly what the team needs on paper.
That would do it to anchor the pitching staff. I don't see them going against the longstanding franchise philosophy. Don't commit big money to pitchers. Don't do it.
How many years do you think it would take to get Zach Wheeler over $100 million? Do you think that's a 6-year deal? Or a 5-year deal?
I think five at 20 does it.
Yeah. Five at 20. So if he's getting more than $100 million, Tanny, are you comfortable with giving Zach Wheeler 5 for $120 million?
Again,
that's 20. I know it's not your money.
Not my money.
It's not your money, but you care about the White Sox and their ability to spend elsewhere. So if I said it took
think about what we saved by not signing Yomer Sanchez now,
true.
Too.
Yeah, it all matters.
Let that go.
$24 million per.
All the international pool money that they were setting aside, hiding underneath the mattress.
5 $120 million, Zach Wheeler. It gets it done. Do you sign it if you are the White Sox?
Of course, yeah. But I'm like Mac, though. So, like, that'll be the last, like, White Sox, I don't know what you call it, a myth. It's not a myth. It's, you know, the last
benchmark,
true, benchmark, the last thing about, you know, not giving big money to starting pitching. That's, like, the one thing that they still have to disprove. They've disproven everything else for the most part about, you know, giving an international free agent like Luis Robert, you know, a big-time money. You know, they get rid of a lot of those stigmas with stuff like that. But the starting pitching thing is still out there. So I would be thrilled if they did that. But I still have my doubts until he's signed, sealed, and delivered. So
I think that would just be a huge statement move, even more so than Grandal. Like, playing in those waters for starting pitching, for free agent starting pitching.
You combine those contracts and you're talking $170 million between the two of them? Yeah. That would be very un-Soxian.
It would be. And it would be saying that the clock starts now. Like, window open, go for 85-plus wins next year.
They've got to do something like this because they talk the talk. Don't just stop at Yasmani Grandal. Don't stop there, boys, Hawk Harrelson. You got to keep going. They don't have that front end of the rotation guy. Giolito, had a good year last year, not there yet.
So
yeah, they know that. I mean, you have to believe they know that, because you don't sign a guy like Grandal and just say, you know what, we're good, we're going to stay on pad, maybe add a little bit next year, maybe, you know, get some organizational depth, call people up. They know that by signing Grandal, that's like, okay, we're open for business, I would hope.
Yeah, I mean,
logically, listen, you would think that's what that means to them.
You don't want him to necessarily be your ace. You still want that to be Giolito and Kopech when he gets back, and Lopez has the high ceiling. But if the only starting pitching move they make is a Cole Hamels type, that'll be a very disappointing offseason for the White Sox.
Yeah, and Cole Hamels, as much as I've admired him in recent years, I thought what he did for the Cubs two seasons ago was remarkable, and he started pretty decent last year as well. I'm terribly worried about the miles on the odometer.
Yeah, you know, I don't know what it'll cost. If it's a one-year deal, I think most baseball executives subscribe to the idea that there's no such thing as a bad one-year contract, because there's so many terrible contracts in baseball that if you're just signing him for 1 year, how bad can it be? Like, there's relatively low risk.
Yeah.
But if you turn around and gave Cole Hamels, like, two with a player option, then all of a sudden it could get very risky at his age.
Yeah, because, you know, is he going to be on the injured list before Carlos Rodon gets off of it?
Right. And but
because that's how little faith I would have in Hamels to stay healthy.
So this was Cole Hamels with Chuck Garfine on the White Sox Talk podcast discussing his interest potentially in joining the South Side.
I mean, on paper, you seem to be a really good fit for the White Sox rotation. Do you agree?
Yeah, and that's kind of what we've been really trying to point out is just how somebody can complement the other pitchers in the rotation. Being left-handed is really helpful. How you line up in that division. I've had pretty good success with the teams in that division. At times, but you know, just now looking at where teams, who they have in their lineups and what they don't do well against. That's how you want to base your rotation off of. And then if you can throw it and mix and match better, that's how you win. And that's how you build a strong rotation without having to just go out and try to get the best of the best of the best, because sometimes they might not line up and work well together. They have reached out, so I think that was great to be able to hear. And I know with the few guys that they've signed, I think that was kind of their focus when they did talk to my agent. It was, hey, we're putting something together. We really have a few guys that we're wanting try to get first, which I think that's what they've been doing. But we really have some good interest, and we'd like to talk further down the line. And I think that's always really good to see. And then you see what they're actually making moves, and then that's kind of where you pay attention a little bit more, just because you kind of have to see where you might actually fit in to the situation.
Pretty honest stuff from a free agent. I know the contrarian there would say, what's he going to say? Of course, I'd be interested in joining the White Sox. I'm unemployed. A couple texters already bringing in something to that account. But he's sharing that the White Sox contacted his agent and that they told him that he would not be an early offseason priority, but a later offseason priority. Those are two details that we didn't previously have about Cole Hamels and the White Sox.
Hamels is going to be 36 in 3 weeks. Last year with the Cubs, he made 27 starts, logged 141 and two-thirds innings. His whip was higher than it had been during any season in his career, 1.391. His strikeouts to walks ratio was the worst it's been in his career. Previous season, much better in his dozen starts with the Cubs, but last year there was quite a dip in productivity, and you got to think at 36, it's probably not going to get much better if it gets better at all.
I obviously agree with you, which is why I would sign off on the signing if it's 1 year.
1 year, yeah. And preferably in 2021 when the White Sox can you just freeze him for a year and bring him in 2021?
You need
when
innings
the White
next
Sox
year.
Are closer to competing for a championship.
But see, you need innings. Like you're going to need veteran innings next year and to help those guys develop. I know that sometimes, we were talking about it with Chase Daniel in the transition with Lawrence, like, these teams believe in the de facto player, coach, leader, clubhouse guy. Like, being around Hamels would help develop Giolito, Kopech, Rodon.
I don't doubt that. I thought Hamels had a very settling effect on already a veteran Cubs staff two seasons ago.
It's just such a young rotation that you'd have to think that those guys would be helped. I mean, we saw it with Lester in the Cubs, and Kyle Hendricks has talked about the impact that that's had on him.
A lot of money in this town and being a player coach.
A lot of money in every town. Every town has it. It's not unique to Chicago. Every city has it. When I was covering those Royals teams before they won the World Series, James Shields, that was their guy. Like, right. James Shields, he changed the clubhouse. He made it seem like, oh, my God, we have a guy who's pitched in the playoffs before. Mm-hmm. We can pick his brain and learn from him. He wasn't great for them. He was fine. But he ate innings, and he helped the young guys put a winning culture in there.
Let's go back to Wheeler for a second. If they were to do what they've never done before and sign Wheeler,
yeah,
you guys still don't think they're at that level where they would be considered the favorite to win the division or even a wild card team. What would push them to that? Would Nicholas Castellanos, his Tanny said, a power hitting right fielder? That's what Stoney's been trumpeting for. Champing at the bid for, wanting, finding anything. It very desirable, yeah, to get one of those guys.
And
yeah.
Chuck asked Cole if he could, you know, put in a good word for Nick Castellanos, and basically he said, yeah, he loves the city. I think he would love to play for the Sox.
But and speaking of that, Cole is just being very charitable.
Cole, spilling all the tea today.
I've been a little bit just suspicious that he's going to come back to earth. That remarkable 4 to 6 week run he went on was crazy, but...
Yeah, but even an average Castellanos, I think, would put you right there with the contenders. It depends what baseball they're playing with next year, to be honest. Because
yes.
If the Twins are going to hit 300 home runs again, then you might have a tough time keeping up. But, you know, on an equal playing field, I think with Castellanos or any, you know, Ozuna, any serviceable right fielder, I think you got a shot.
I think that's right. We don't know what the moves the other teams are going to make. And if they sign Wheeler, I do think that they're within, like, the margin of error for the AL Central. You know what
yes.
I mean? Like, but they won't be the favorites in Vegas opening day next year.
Think about how those odds would change if you had Rendon at third and you moved Moncada over to second,
okay,
too.
You sign Rendon and Wheeler?
Yes.
Then yeah, I think you're probably...
And Castellanos. We're stocking the covers. We're signing them all. Yeah, we're not messing around anymore. We're the White Sox.
Okay, well, then you'd be the favorites. If you give out 250 million in contracts...
What would that make the payroll? With,
oh no! For next year, you could afford it.
Put them in the top 4 or 5, wouldn't it?
Well, let's see. Before Abreu signed, they had $7 for next year. Already assigned $7. And
carry the 12. Yeah. No, they. That's the thing. They could afford it for 1 year. You just don't want to spend all of your money this offseason because the window's opening, Mac. 5 years of contention for the White Sox,
right
around the corner before you have to sign these other guys. So, all right, there we go. Zach Wheeler linked to the White Sox. Hamels linked to the White Sox by himself. And Jeff Passan.
He just doesn't want to move.
Jeff Passan went through the list of Cubs who could be traded as the winter meetings approach on Sunday. We'll go over that list next on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first 3 orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Breaking Cubs news. The Cubs trade Anthony Rizzo.
Rizzo drives one in the air, deep right field. Back toward the corner. It's got a chance. Gone!
Keep it here as we continue to bring you all the details of this huge move by the Cubs.
Not yet. But according to Jeff Passan, it is being discussed. Even if it seems untradeable, the likelihood of the Cubs moving him certainly is lower than the others, but even he could move in this climate. That's Jeff Passan on Anthony Rizzo.
I've never talked to the Jeff Passan guy in my life.
So who would be the captain? Who would be their leader? Because Rizzo had that job last year, right?
Yeah, allegedly.
Uh-huh.
Lester.
That's what they like to say.
Hayward. All the guys that have been here. while this has been going
on. Yeah, yeah. Good luck with that. Rizzo's more bankable offensively. He's the most bankable asset they have offensively. They're going to move a key piece, move Chris Bryant.
I say move Contreras. I'd move Contreras before I'd move Bryant.
Do you think Chris Bryant will fall apart in moving? Like when he gets traded to Boston, will he be like a cheap piece of furniture that the leg falls off by the time he gets there?
No, I think a change of atmosphere might do him some good. I wonder if some of the pressure he talked about at length last year is directly tied to how good it started for him in his rookie of the year season and the following MVP year. Too much too soon. I think getting a break from that backdrop would benefit from him. And I also can't help but be suspicious that the reports of acrimony are not erroneous between his camp, Scott Boras, and the Cubs. That service time issue still sticks in his craw, as they say, and he'd like to stick it right back.
Yeah, I am not against trading Chris Bryant. I just think that there's a chance that with Rendon and Donaldson, the third baseman market, it might not be the right time to do it when teams that really want a third baseman can just throw money at the problem instead of trading someone, like giving up a bunch of prospects and then also needing to pay Bryant. So I think that there's a chance that you maybe trade Bryant in season or next offseason. I don't think that necessarily needs to be done right now. But listen to how Passan started his piece at ESPN about how the Cubs are being described as they head into this offseason. The Cubs have been, according to various executives, quote, aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone or someones. Those are the four words from various executives and sources. Aggressive, manic, motivated, and obvious in their desire to trade someone. It feels like the talk is actually going to get backed up by action finally this offseason, right? It would be shocking if...
Unless somebody doesn't meet their price.
But that was what the... at some point, you're going to have to trade someone for 80 cents on the dollar change for the sake of change. Because you can't just run back the exact same thing as last year.
Yeah, they've not been... they have no history of change for sake of change, though. I mean, they were very patient with their manager. They've kept this core together for some time. Loyal to a fault, some would say. Center fielder, Albert Elmora, Kyle Schwarber.
Yeah, Passan lists Elmora in that group with Bryant, Rizzo, Contreras, Schwarber, and then he includes Elmora. I think that Schwarber, Contreras, Bryant, Rizzo, one of those guys is getting moved in a trade.
I would be surprised if one of them isn't moved too.
Right. And so then it comes down to who's most likely, who's least likely. I think that Rizzo is least likely because of the intangibles, the bankability that you talk about, his closeness with the front office, the organization, Mr. Cub 2.0, all of that stuff.
Yeah, Jed Hoyer went through cancer with him years ago in another organization. They've got history.
Seems very unlikely that he's the guy that gets traded. Bryant and Contreras strike me as the guys most likely to get traded because there's all this talk about a Baez contract extension, right? I don't think you're trading Javi Baez this offseason. I suppose it's possible. But if you're not signing Bryant to an extension in 2 years, or you think that Wilson Contreras is not going to age as a catcher and you like your prospects there and you like Caratini there, I think you got a little bit of a surplus at catcher. You could say, hey, we're trading Wilson Contreras, and that's how we're going to retool our roster.
Well, if you're going to wind up dealing Wilson Contreras, what's behind him? Who's going to catch? I mean,
Caratini.
And
they love this. I forget
Victor Caratini. Really, you're going to put all your eggs in the Victor Caratini basket, huh?
Amaya is the prospect, right? But he's not ready next year. So yeah, it'd be Caratini and a veteran, like when they brought in Jonathan Lucroy or something like that. It'd be Caratini and a vet.
I understand the frustration with Contreras. He has flirted with greatness, and then he goes through long stretches where he just completely disappears offensively.
And I don't think that you're better the minute you trade Contreras. I just think that they are going to take a step back in talent next year. They might win more games, but the talent on paper is going to be less. And so if you can say, all right, we're trading Wilson Contreras, and in response or in return, we're getting three young players and high-end prospects who are either on the opening day roster this year or will be by 2021, and that's three players on the next core of Cubs teams, it's one step back for two steps forward. Like that's what I anticipate them doing, because they're on the record as saying they don't want to do a full rebuild after 2021.
I wouldn't think they'd be ready for that. Yeah, I think, you know, and you know, the idea of trading for prospects right now doesn't thrill me, because you're still in this window, and I still think that there's a division championship left in this team. I'm not ready to say that they have slipped so far off the radar that they're not good enough to do that anymore.
Especially with the Brewers coming under some sort of financial constraint and being willing to trade everybody other than Christian Yelich.
Right.
Right? So the Brewers could come back. The Cardinals are still there. The Reds are making moves and talented. But the Cubs should be the most talented team in the division again, and that's also based on resources and names and pedigree. I understand that, but they will most likely outspend the nearest competitor in their division by $40 million or more.
Yeah,
next year, and I
want them to spend more too, because if you trade Chris Bryant, you got to replace him, right? That's where Anthony Rendon fits. I want him in a Chicago uniform of some type next year.
You just want to watch him.
I just want to watch him hit.
I can't say that I blame you.
Rip out trees with his bare hands in his spare time. I'm Anthony Rendon. Trade Bryant for pitching and sign that guy. Instead of paying Bryant in 2 years. Stupid money.
And then sign Rendon to stupid money instead?
Yes.
Okay, so you'd sign Rendon to $250 million.
Rendon, yes, I would.
Okay. I still think that you guys drastically underrate Chris Bryant, but He's not going to sign a contract extension.
The truth is probably somewhere in the middle. I think his ardent defenders always point to OPS and WAR. But, you know, if you watched him last year, when they needed him against the two teams that they were chasing, he was awful.
I know, but that's relatively a small sample.
It's 33 games. He hit two home runs.
Right. So in the grand scheme of a baseball season, that's a month, right? It's 5 weeks.
Well, those are the two teams in your division who were better than you were last year.
Right, but that's not exactly something that is a storyline for his entire career. It's not like he never hits the Brewers or never hits the Cardinals.
What did he drive in? 78 runs last year?
Yeah, so 77.
If the detractors point to RBIs in a 5 week sample of games, yes, against big games, big teams in your division, no question about it. But the other stuff is OPS, OPS plus, WAR, and a body of work that is a very solid baseball player to a great baseball player. I still will take that. Now, again, these are two separate conversations, because if he's not signing a contract extension, you've got to trade him at some point. You can't just lose Chris Bryant for a draft pick. Right.
So you've got to get something.
I'm not against trading Chris Bryant. I don't think his value is as low as you guys make it out to be. If I'm trading Chris Bryant, I want a return that equals trading a top 20 player in the game.
Sure. Like, that's what you need to get back. I agree with you.
You know what I mean? Like, so but I'm holding him to that standard.
Like, we're holding Chris Bryant to a standard of what he was his first two or maybe 3 years in the league, not what he's been for the last two seasons. And I know injuries have played a part in that. But what have you seen from Chris Bryant to think that injuries aren't going to be a part of things either? You pay a guy for what he's going to do for you, not for what he did for you, right?
Agreed. We're not talking about a contract extension. Like, we're talking about trading him.
Sure. But also, you have to think of that in terms of what someone's going to give up for him. If someone's going to trade for him, they're not going to look and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to get 2016 MVP Chris Bryant. They look at it and say, we're going to get a guy that's probably going to miss 15 to 20 games a year. A guy that's going to go through a couple of hot streaks where he looks like he's the best stinking hitter in the National League or all of baseball for a couple of weeks. And then you're going to see some of these dry spells, and you're going to see the scouting report with high fastballs that he has had trouble with over the last two seasons to catch up with and do any damage with.
Yeah. Career 901 OPS guy, 136 OPS plus for his career. I would think that any team that's on the receiving end of a Chris Bryant trade, unless it's the Red Sox and they're trading away Mookie Betts because of how popular Mookie Betts is with Red Sox fans, I would think that every other trade scenario that would be out there, the team that's receiving Chris Bryant is thrilled and getting the best player in the trade.
Yeah, it's hard to
right?
Like hard to say. Like, you'd have to be a top prospect and then still just a prospect at that.
Yeah, so that's the thing. It's most likely that if you're trading Bryant, you're trading the best player in the trade. It's overwhelmingly likely. Now, there's financial stuff and all of that that comes into it, but You don't get better when you trade a player of that caliber.
I agree. Yes, like it's a depth thing. And then the Cubs, you could argue that their depth has been awful. They had no bench last year whatsoever. Part of the reason that they're able to be caught yet again.
All right, so go around the room. I say Contreras gets traded.
I say Bryant gets traded.
I go Contreras on it.
Okay. But you would trade Bryant, but you think it's going to be...
I'd be open to trading Bryant, yes, but I think it's going to be Contreras.
I think it'll be Descalso, for what it's worth.
Bottom of the
hour.
And
that's what Theo's going to say. He's going to pick up the phone when those trade talks start, and he's just going to say, you got to give me something.
He's busy, man. That's why he's going to the winter meetings. Get Descalso out of here. Bottom of the hour brought to you by Northwestern Basketball. Northwestern Basketball hosts third-ranked Michigan State at the new Welsh Ryan Arena on December 18th. Tip-off set for 7. Tickets to see Chicago's Big Ten team on sale now at NUSports.com. If you're just joining us and did not hear the news of the day, Ron Rivera has been fired as the head coach of the Carolina Panthers.
Yes, if you want to run cool, you got to run on Perry Fuel. He will coach the Panthers for their final 4 games. The Cowboys also announcing today Leighton Vander Esch will not play Thursday night against the Bears, and Jerry Jones was popping off on the radio in Dallas again today talking about how they're going to take it to the house. I look at our team on paper, he said, there's no reason why we can't win everything. So, lots of luck with that.
I saw a quote going around on Twitter that Jerry Jones said something to the effect of, Jason Garrett will be a coach in the NFL next year.
Yes, he did say that. He just didn't say where.
Or head coach.
Right.
He'll be employable somewhere.
Come here and help Mitch.
What a weird thing for your owner GM to say. I wish that Ryan Pace spoke more. But I don't know if that does your team any good.
The Giants owner also spoke today. Steve Tisch, I think his name is. And he did not exactly give a vote of confidence to Pat Shurmur, who is reeling in this is, what, second year on the job with the Giants? Or is this his third year? Second year? I think it's second, right?
But, well, so it was. So you mean, Gettleman came in and he was the owner. Yes, Tisch.
So there's changes likely there also.
Well, we talk about Ryan Pace not speaking. Which is better? Obviously the Jerry Jones model was better for us in the media, but for your football team, having your GM and / owner speak multiple times a week, every week, including post-game when emotions are running high.
Right.
And then completely neutering whatever your head coach said at the podium. And all
showing up on Good Morning Football Monday this week.
Jerry Jones has a weekly radio show.
He's on the radio today in Dallas. Yeah, well, he calls all the shots. He's a football man, Danny.
As a media guy and as a fan, I wish that Ryan Pace spoke more. But as someone who can, if I want to objectively observe this, Ryan Pace's way of doing things is the majority. The vast majority of GMs do not speak during the season.
Very buttoned down, right? Not going to get
it. Way to go, Ryan Pace.
Do we have all of the big voice stuff for the Cubs trades?
No, not really. We've had a couple kicking around since the trade deadline last year. So far, I just got Rizzo, Contreras, Schwarber.
Yeah, we
got
to have a Schwarber one, right? Schwarber's been rumored to be traded since he became a Cub. A
couple people texted, why in the world are you? Because we're bastards. That's why we play those
pretty
promos.
Pretty much. It's that simple.
Yeah, we're not nice.
This hour on The Score brought to you by the Exergen Temporal Scanner. 30 million people come down with the flu every year. It could be you or your family. The best way to tell if it's a cold or the flu is by taking your temperature, and no one does that better than the Exergen Temporal Scanner. Fun rock and roll birthday for you ahead of Tom Thayer at 4 on The Score.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction. In the fields of bodies burning, machine keeps turning. Death and hatred to mankind, poisoning their brainwashed minds. Oh, Lord, yeah.
Black Sabbath frontman Ozzy Osbourne, the Prince of Darkness, is 71 years old today. Ah, nothing gets the blood pumping quite like war pigs, right, Danny? Does that do it for you?
That's what I always say, Mac. 71 going on 101. That guy looks every bit of his age.
Yeah, he does. He's lived hard, and he's prospered over the years, too.
Yeah, I think of Ozzy Osbourne. I think of Howard Stern appearances and seventh-inning stretches at Wrigley Field.
Yeah, he was. Also had a bit part in the movie Private Parts, right, at the beginning.
When Howard
was not appreciated by his fellow artists as Fart Man when he's walking backstage.
That's exactly
Ozzy
right.
Ozzy says, what a joke. Yeah.
Sharon and Ozzy Osbourne.
All right, Chicago. Let's. I want to hear a real, real crazy crowd start singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready? One, two, three, and let's go out to the
Let's
go out to the river. Take me in.
Wow.
I don't remember
Wow.
But if we two, three strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't remember it being that off the track.
Really?
I forgot how funny that was because the Ditka, his several stretch appearances kind of overshadows everything in this town. But that is as good as it gets.
That's always been my go-to. That's goodness. My number one. I mean, Ditka running up the stairs is, of course, legendary, and you're right, overplayed. And then Jeff Gordon saying Wrigley Stadium was an all-time slip-up.
Yeah.
But Ozzy as a musician doing whatever the hell that thing was.
Man, that's crazy bad. He didn't know hardly any of the lyrics unless he was just mocking it. I'm
or
not
wasted.
Sure what the that could have been the case.
It sounded wasted. He wasn't pronouncing anything. That didn't make any sense.
Black Sabbath, I liked Black Sabbath, but not an over-the-top fan. But I think there are enough guys out there and people who followed Ozzy Osbourne in pop culture too who want to hear about his birthday. There is another rock and roll note I wanted to do today, and Hub's a little under the weather. Tom Thayer is going to sit in for Hub on his usual 4 o'clock Tuesday appearance in just a little bit. I was going to discuss this with Hub because he is the biggest fan I know of The Who. A rock and roll tragedy 40 years ago tonight. Fortunately, after this event, the death of the festival seating ticket occurred in most venues around the country, but 11 people died at Riverfront Stadium in Cincinnati when trying to get in for a Who concert. And I was, at the time, an 18-year-old concert goer. And I remember reading the Tribune the following morning at work and just being so stunned and saddened by it that 11 brothers and sisters, you know, perished in that. And many others were very seriously injured. The stupidity all those years that it didn't happen sooner than it did, sooner than 1979. I remember all of the festival seating shows I went to at Soldier Field, and its gates open, and it's a free-for-all. And I'm not saying that because Ted Nugent was one of the acts I went to in one of those shows. It's just, I'm surprised it didn't happen more often. But I think ages 14 through 39 who perished in that tragedy. But just a horrible, horrible memory. 40 years ago tonight already.
Time fly for you there?
No.
Every bit of 40?
Yes, there have been a ton of events in these last 40 years, Danny.
No, you said 40 years already, and so I was wondering if it fit.
40 years. But I'm glad that they did away with it. Every now and again, you'll have portions, like when they have concerts at Wrigley, there is the pit area up front, but it's limited to a few hundred people, I believe. I sat in the pit, and it's first come, first serve.
And if you have a pass,
if
to
you
get
have
in there,
a pit pass, but I think all of the seats are good enough there where people don't feel the need to sprint and trample other human beings so they can get a little bit closer.
Eh, have you seen these local news stories of what happens when the mall opens on Black Friday? Even though everything is online now, and the U.S., I just saw a story, did over $9 billion in online sales for Black Friday. Just every year sets a new record.
Yeah.
Yet still, every year, there's stories of tramplings at malls. Come on. We got to do better.
Yeah,
we got to be better.
You would think so.
One day earlier, we're thankful for everything we have. The next day, we're stampeding children to get $6 off a toy.
Right? Doesn't
when everything's available online and the sales last all weekend through Monday.
Something's wrong with this picture when that's going on. I did my very best to stay off the roads and stay away from heavy traveled thoroughfares. I took Patrick out for lunch on Black Friday. That was the extent of my travels. So I just to stay off the main roads. People are everywhere.
Everywhere. Yeah, it's
they throw the people at you.
People are saying that we missed Ozzy saying either I don't remember what I'm supposed to say or I don't remember what I had for dinner in that seventh inning stretch. Can we hear it one more time, Tanny? Can we hear is Ozzy trying to communicate that he has forgotten something during that infamous Wrigley seventh inning stretch, please?
Sam and Ozzy Osbourne.
All right, Chicago. Let's. I want to hear a real crazy crowd start singing with me. Are you ready? Are you ready? I can't hear you. Are you ready? One, two, three, and let's go out to the border. Let's go out to the river. Take me everywhere, bring us into. I don't remember what I have to do.
I don't remember what I have to do.
You're out at the old ball game.
Yeah. Now let's get some runs.
Yeah, let's get some runs. Come on, don't mess around. Let's get some runs, guys.
Wow. Good catch. You did say I don't remember something in there.
I don't know if I'd ever made it through all the way to the finish before. I think that's why I was so stunned by it. I don't think I ever got past the first couple lines before.
I think we should keep the end of that for posterity.
I was thinking the same thing.
Right?
Yeah. Don't mess around.
It's good advice. Don't mess around and get some runs. That's what we're supposed to do. Let's get some runs. It's perfect. It's good advice. Can't get it anywhere else. Tom Thayer coming up next. Has Mitch turned a corner or is that still possible? With Tom Thayer next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.